Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shaskin Show on 6:30 every evening, Monday through Friday, and 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And I want to give you a very warm welcome to a show where we engage in critical thought. We do not work on assumptions. We don't work on political rhetoric. This is not a politically correct show. It's a politically incorrect show, where people, or you and I, can put our heads together and try to arrive at facts and truth. I'll go through my background quickly. I am a Christian. Of course, I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture, as well as to the ancient creeds of the church. And I also run two radio shows, a podcast going, a blog talk radio show, which are Christian orientation. And I am visited from many countries on my podcast show and blog talk radio show. I'm also a writer. I've written 10 books. I'm planning for more. They sell very widely, nationally, internationally. They're Christian books and legal books. That's as much as I want to say about myself these days. I've written about 500 essays or blogs, also Christian orientation, and many people. These have been posted on many of my website and on academia.edu, as well as social media. And my book on the parables, Interpretation of 41 Parables, has also been posted on social media and on academia.edu and my website. That's as much as I want to say about my background here. Tonight we're going to talk about a topic that everybody wants to think about, but nobody wants to understand. And that is what we mean, what the correct interpretation of the word and meaning of freedom. I believe we have a mistaken meaning and understanding and import of the word freedom as in the world today, which it is interpreted as meaning in some way that you can do what you want, as long as you don't bother anybody, as long as you don't judge anybody, as long as you don't break the law, you should be free to do anything you want. And implied in this notion of freedom, which many people go wholeheartedly embrace, is the idea there are no fixed moral laws to limit us. Since we should be free under this understanding of freedom to do whatever we want, as long as we don't break any laws, one can only conclude that there's no objective morality present in our society today. And that has been replaced by a kind of moral relativism, which means we make up our own morality when we adopt this idea of freedom. So I think freedom is doing what you want, as long as you don't break any laws, as long as you don't hurt anybody, you don't even make any judgment. It's the idea of you can do what you want. And many people embrace this idea completely. And the result is they come to the conclusion with this extremely broad interpretation of freedom, that there are no fixed moral laws to limit us. Since we should be free to do what we want under this concept, as long as we don't break any laws, one can only conclude that any objective morality has been cast by the wayside to be replaced by the term, and I think you understand it, it's been around for some time, moral relativism, which means that we make up our own morality under this idea of freedom. Under this understanding of the idea of freedom is the idea that we should be free to pursue whatever may please us at any given moment. It subjectively please us as long as no one is harmed. And one can only conclude that we can even be free to harm ourselves if you want to. Which many people do in taking drugs or whatever they do, and drinking. So under this idea of freedom is the idea that we should be free, we are free to pursue at any given moment anything that we may want to, that pleases us at that particular juncture. as long as no one is harmed, and one can only conclude that we can even be free to harm ourselves if we want to, short of suicide. So there's kind of a, as developed in this idea of freedom, which says that you can do what you want as long as you don't harm anybody or do anything to anybody. Is, and as we make up our own morality, there is no morality to limit our freedom. The result of this is a development of a kind of free market sexuality, embracing all kinds of types of sexual conduct, with the exception of incest. Well, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people don't even stop at that. They can get away with it. So the result of this kind of broad understanding of freedom, doing what you want, as long as you don't bother anybody, as long as nobody, you don't make any judgments on anybody, we can do about anything we want sexually, with the exception of incest, although I have to say that child sex has become quite prevalent, and incest may be the next step. I don't know, under this interpretation of freedom. Freedom, also under this definition, involves pursuing and acquiring as many material goods as you can get. It allows that, says it's good, endorses it, and allows for a kind of excessive ambition, with the result that life becomes a competitive race where we all seek to outdo each other and make the others surrounding us potential rivals. So, freedom under this definition involves not only free sexuality, which is one of the main outgrowths of it, but involves pursuing and acquiring as many material goods as you can get, and allows and obtains for a kind of ambition for these goods, which result that life becomes extremely competitive. And everybody's a competitor in the world. So I have a little bit of a difference of my understanding of freedom. I think this is incorrect. I don't think doing what you want with no limits, which this suggests, results in any kind of freedom in the true sense. This kind of freedom the modern world embraces, which most people think to be a good thing, results in self-worship, self-adulation, and intense self-involvement. It is narcissism on a grand scale. So, this concept of freedom, which I just talked about, which many people think to be a very good thing, results in a kind of worship of self, self-worship, self-adulation, and self-involvement, and narcissism, if you will. And so this kind of definition of freedom, which has taken over our society, doesn't involve ourselves in positive and fruitful relationships of service and love with others. We actually devote ourselves to ourselves and nothing more. And the end result is we become sort of self-encased as to be immovable and virtually helpless and non-functional. So I think this concept of freedom doesn't involve the idea of service and love for others, which is most fruitful and positive, because we're shrinking in ourselves, devoting ourselves to ourselves. The end is that we are somehow, so with this idea of freedom, and this narcissism, we are so self-encased as to be virtually helpless and non-functional. We're barely able to concern ourselves others within the range of our concern, and so we are extremely limited and devoted to ourselves and are virtually chained to ourselves. This, I don't think, is freedom. Self-adulation and shrinking within ourselves and devoting ourselves to ourselves with this idea of freedom, I don't think it's so good. We become self-encased as to be virtually helpless and non-functional, are barely able to allow others a kind of concern within the range of our concerns, and we are virtually chained and encased within ourselves. I don't think this is freedom. Freedom, I think properly understood, makes us involved outside of ourselves in love, service, and relationship with others. The freedom to do what you want leads to an increasingly shrunken thinking, personality, and soul. We become not grown-up men and women, but kind of like little selfish children. True freedom involves ourselves outside of ourselves in love, service, or relationship with others, and the freedom to do exactly what you want is not very wise or good, and don't lead much of anywhere but selfishness and self-love. Second, I don't think this kind of doing what you want that the modern world so lauds and praises brings any happiness. Happiness consists of going outside of ourselves and involvement with others and love and service with others. True freedom, which is founded on happiness, is found in relationships, and the basis for all relationships is friendships. When we have relationships, we step outside of ourselves. When we are free to do exactly what we want, we are stricken and paralyzed within ourselves. So I have to say that the freedom of the modern world so lauds and praises, I don't think brings happiness. Happiness consists of going outside of ourselves. Happiness involves involvement and love and service with others. Or, if you will, happiness is relationships, and the basis for our relationship is friendship and love. When we have relationships, we step outside of ourselves. When we have the kind of freedom people seem to think is so good, we are stricken, encased, and paralyzed within ourselves. That understanding of freedom is weak-minded, ineffective, and meaningless. I often have occasion to speak with elderly people who, for some reason or another, can't work anymore, and say they're happier working, and we're happier working. Because when you work, this involvement and discipline involves you with others and ideas and tasks outside of yourself, which bring you true freedom. And that's why when we work, many people want to continue working despite not having the necessity for the income, because it brings them in involvement and with others and ideas and tasks outside of ourselves, which again brings them a kind of freedom. As I say, the freedom to do exactly what you want only brings self-involvement of an intense character and great unhappiness. There could be no more unhappy person than a person who is alone and free to do exactly what they want at the beginning, middle, and conclusion of each day of their lives. Let me end this little talk here about freedom. It's of a philosophical and theological character, but freedom is, for a Christian, is embracing Christ, or better put, is embracing the good. Freedom to do what you want, which is really possibly taking up the wrong thing, is not only freedom at all, but only a limitation and privation. Evil has a impermanent existence. Tyrannies rise and fall. Imperialism gives way to democracy. Kings give way to parliament. Apartheid gives way to self-government. And slavery and serfdom give way to freedom. As long as we may choose other than the good, we are not free. We remain totally and completely unfree. Freedom with many choices only leads to nothingness and extinguishment. There is only true freedom in love and service and involvement in the lives of others. That is where freedom lies, in the good, and the freedom to make wrong choices and to make all kinds of choices, which are often selfish and self-involved, lead nowhere and to nothing and to great unhappiness. And the only true freedom lies in love and a life of service for others and achieving relationships of love and service with others. Freedom with many choices, with many wrong choices, only leads to nothingness and makes us completely and markedly unfree. The freedom that maybe people thought they had really isn't real. Evil may look free, but it has no real existence. Tyrannies may look free, but they rise and fall. Imperialism may look free, but gives way to democracy, and kings give way to parliaments, and apartheid gave rise to self-government, and slavery and freedom give way to freedom. There is nothing free in the wrong choice. There's nothing free in selfishness. There's nothing free in slavery. There's nothing free in serfdom. There's nothing free in devotion to self. It leads to intellectual, spiritual, and moral destruction. The only freedom that is real and actual is the freedom to live and choose the good. I assume that you've enjoyed this little talk, and you can find this in my book, Freedom versus Slavery, Essays in the Christian Worldview, on pages 59 and 60. Good night.